ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Bhagavatam, from the 6th canto, chapter 1, entitled The History of the Life of Ajamil, text number 49.
Yatha Inan Samasa Yukta Upaste Vyaktam Eva Hi नावेदा पूर्वां अपूरां नस्ता जन्मस्मृति तथा ज्ञान समास्य युक्ता पासे व्यक्तं एव हि पूर्वापरम नस्ता जन्मस्मृति तथा यथा ज्ञान समासा युक्त पास्ते व्यक्तम् एव हि न वेद पूर्वापरम नस्ता जन्मस्मृति तथा ज्ञान समाज्युक्त पास्ते व्यक्तम् एव हि न वेद पूर्वमपरम् तत्र जन्मस्मृति तथा।
Unable to know his past or the future.
activities because he does not know what he did in his past life to get the present materially conditioned body, which is subject to the threefold misery stated by Rishabhdev in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.4. Nunam Parvata Purute Vikrama. A human being who is made after sense gratification does not hesitate to act sinfully. Yat Indriya Priya Vritaya Abnoti. He performs sinful actions simply for sense gratification. Na Sadhu Manye. That is not good. Yatho Atmano Yam Asan Abhi Kalesha Asadehe. Because of such sinful actions, one receives another body in which he suffers as he is suffering in his present body because of his past sinful activities. It should be understood that a person does not have Vedic knowledge, always acts in the ignorance of what he has done in the past, what he is doing in the present, and how he will suffer in the future. He is completely in darkness. Therefore, the Vedic injunction is Tamasaima. Don't remain in darkness. Jyotirgama. Try to go to the light. The light of the illumination of Vedic knowledge, which can be understood when he is elevated to the mode of goodness, or when he transcends the mode of goodness by engaging in devotional service to the spiritual master, the Supreme Lord. This is described in the Saivatara Upanishad 6.23. Yashya Devi Parabhakti Yatha Devi Tatha Guru Dasyati Kapita Hi Artha Prakashante Mahatmana. Unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the important Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. The Vedic enjoys Vijnanartham Sa Guru Deva Bhachati. One must approach the spiritual master who has full knowledge of the Vedas and he can be faithfully directed by him in order to become a devotee of the Lord. Then the knowledge of the Vedic Vedas will be revealed. When the Vedic knowledge is revealed, one need no longer remain in the darkness of material nature. According to his association with the material modes of nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, the living entity gets a particular body, particular type of body. The example of one who associates with mode of goodness is a qualified brahmana. Such a brahmana knows past, present and future because he concerns the Vedic literature and sees through the eyes of Shastra Chakshu. He can understand what his past life was, why he is in the present body and how he can obtain liberation from the clutches of Maya and not accept another material body. This is all possible when one is situated in the mode of goodness. Generally, however, the living entities are engrossed in the modes of passion and ignorance. In any case, one receives an inferior or a superior body as directed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, as stated in the previous verse. Manaitaiva purva deva purva upam vipasyate Anumamatate Purvam Manasa Bhagavan Aja. Everything depends on Bhagavan or Aja, the unborn. Why doesn't one please Bhagavan to receive a better body? The answer is Jnanas Namasa. Because of gross ignorance. One who is in complete darkness cannot know what his past life was or what his next life will be. He is simply interested in the present body. Even though he has a human body, a person in a mode of ignorance is interested only in his present body is like an animal. For an animal being covered by ignorance thinks that the ultimate goal of life and happiness is to eat as much as possible. A human being must be educated to understand his past life and how he can endeavor for a better life in the future. There is even a book called Rigusamhita, which reveals information about one's past, present and future, like according to astrological calculation. Somehow or other, one must be enlightened about his past, present and future. one who is interested only in his present body and who tries to enjoy his sense to the fullest extent is understood to be gross in the mode of ignorance. His future is very, very dark. Indeed, the future is always dark for one who is grossly covered by ignorance. Especially in this age, human society is covered by the mode of ignorance, and therefore everyone thinks his present body to be everything, without consideration of the past or the future. Om Jnana Trimandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshusunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpatruvyasya Kripasindhuvyasya Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So of course in this particular section of Bhagavatam describing the life of Ajamil, Prabhupada is emphasizing here the importance of acquiring knowledge. And what knowledge? Because there are so many different kinds of knowledge. We see today there is a lot of emphasis on education. And everybody is endeavoring to be educated. Because those who are educated in the modern education system and they get degrees in master's MS or BS, BSc or PhD, and many, many other different levels of degrees one can acquire. And one can be very proud that I have finished college, I have been adorned with this degree, and now I can be addressed as such and such a person with full knowledge. And through that knowledge, one can get a nice job, which of course, again, facilitates your sense enjoyment, as Prabhupada mentions here, that unless until one awakes from the darkness, he will remain in ignorance. And in ignorance, he is thinking, this world is everything. And that is why we try to just engage in such a way that we want to please this body. And we do everything for this body, day and night. Here, Prabhupada mentions that those who are completely in gross ignorance, even though they have acquired a human body, their activities are even lesser than an animal. Now you see, an animal, big animal like an elephant, if he's living in the wild, what is his business? As soon as the sun rises, he looks for food. And he goes here, there and everywhere looking for food. And all day he's eating. And when evening comes, he finds some shady area for the night to rest. And the next day, the same business begins again. Day in and out, same business. Now if you see a small ant, they are doing the same business. They are running around all over the place looking for food. There is no other business. But according to karma, they have particular body. And because of that particular body, they are caught up in a particular mode which allows them to do certain activities which are natural to them. Now for us as a human body, when we are granted the human birth, it is said that it is the highest birth with highest consciousness. And therefore, what is the purpose of this human body? The first aphorism of Vedanta Sutra says, Athato Brahma Jignasya. Therefore, you inquire into the subject matter of higher knowledge. Not just knowledge, but higher knowledge. What is that higher knowledge? Prabhupada explains very clearly here. So that higher knowledge is that knowledge which is given in the Vedas, which frees you from the conditional state of thinking, I am this body. So once we come out of this situation that I am not this body, then we have to inquire, if I am not this body, then who am I? So unless until we are successfully answer this question, we will still be in darkness. Even though if you come to the point of questioning, who am I? But if you do not answer that question successfully, then of course you will still remain in darkness. So of course by the Lord's arrangement, He has given us and imparted the knowledge, explaining very clearly who you are. And by the mercy of a pure devotee who explains further and enlightens us into that knowledge and reveals that knowledge to us. Just like you go to college, the professor who is expert in a particular subject matter, he will teach you how to understand the subject very clearly, so that when you have to put that knowledge in practice, it is not very difficult. For example, you go to medical college and the professor of medicine, he teaches you how to diagnose different symptoms of illness, how to perform expert surgery. So after learning all that, and under the expert teacher, he has fully trained you, and once he recognizes that your training is full and complete, you'll be awarded a certificate that now you can go and work in the field of medicine on your own without any assistance. And he will have full confidence in his ability to teach you, that therefore you will not make any blunders. Now, the same knowledge which the professor of medicine is teaching you, he is using many books, textbooks. Now you say, why do I need the professor? I can purchase the same books from the marketplace, sit down and read them. And after that, I can practice medicine. But it doesn't happen like that. So similarly, one cannot think that, oh, I will go and purchase a book, either Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, I will read that, and I will become a perfect person in full realization. Because even Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidhi Pranipratena Prahiprasana Sevaya, that you inquire this subject matter by seeking out a bona fide spiritual master who is fully knowledgeable in this subject. So therefore, the textbooks are there by the mercy of the Lord. At the same time, by the mercy of the Lord, He sends pure devotees who are masters in the knowledge, who will then teach you how to understand this knowledge perfectly. And if you follow the spiritual master's instructions and guidance, then you will be taken out of darkness of this material world. As Prabhupada mentions in this purport, citing the verse from Svetasvara Upanishad, saying that one who has implicit faith in the words of Guru and Krishna, then all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed in the heart. This is nothing, something external. It comes internal. And how it is revealed in the heart? It is revealed in the heart by the super soul sitting there. When the super soul sees that you are now eager to know this transcendental knowledge, then he will impart that knowledge to you. Otherwise, the super soul will just sit there very patiently observing your actions. And according to your actions and your deeds, your future life will be determined, as is mentioned here. That if you perform religious or illegitimate activities, accordingly, you will be awarded the next body. But the goal is not to get a next body. The goal is to be freed from this present body and be liberated, so that you can get the spiritual body where there is no fear of birth, death, old age and disease. Now, nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to grow old. And definitely nobody wants to be diseased. But everybody is eager to take birth in this world. You can see many, many children are born every day. Practically every second a new baby is born. And that very baby who is born, whether it's a boy or a girl, as he grows up and sees the world outside, and what is this aspiration? I want to live forever. And that is why we have so many scientists in the scientific world making tremendous research into solving the problem of death. Some scientists in the 60s were saying and promising that right now we don't have enough sufficient technological knowledge, but in the future will unfold and reveal the secret of life. So many rich people who were unfortunately condemned to death due to certain illnesses, but they are endowed with unlimited wealth, practically, you know, millions of dollars. They made preparation that their bodies will be frozen at the point of death. hoping in the future the scientists will figure out how to bring the body back to life, and then you can continue living. And what is the purpose of living again? Like the elephant, from sunrise to sunset, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. That is the business. No other business. Now, in this present life, never mind prolonged life, present situation, we are also eating, sleeping, mating, defending. But the cause of all this is what? Suffering. Nobody is getting happiness. You eat today to your fullest satisfaction. What happens tomorrow? You're not satisfied. You have to go and do more. Eat again and again. Similarly, every material activity is the same. You'll never be satisfied. You do something today, you have to do again tomorrow, because there's never satisfaction. Satisfaction is when you know, okay, I have enough, I will not do any more. Because this is the cause of my bondage. So, the scientist promising this, some people's bodies were frozen, and then they were put on some kind of a computer monitor to preserve the temperature at the right level. And there was a blackout, electricity went, and all the bodies became rotten. So that is gone. So that has miserably failed. Then the scientists, recent scientists advancement saying that now we have found the secret of the gene which detects aging. So now we know which gene in your chromosome is responsible for aging. Next step is how to switch it off. So once that gene in your chromosome is switched off, then you will not age. You will remain the same age. But of course, by the mercy of Krishna, he says, if you want to be Navayavanam, ever refreshing and ever living youthful life, then it is not possible in this material world of duality. You have to come out of this world and go back to Godhead in the spiritual world, where Krishna himself is Navayavanam. He is ever youthful, ever fresh. He is never old. He is described as remaining ever youthful. Now you and I, if you are 40 years old, 50 years old, 60 years old, we will see the signs of aging. Krishna, when he left Mathura to go to Dwarka, and he was the king of Dwarka, he was there for some 111 years or so. Not one black hair on his head, white hair on his head, no wrinkling screen or anything, he was still youthful. Why? Navayavanam, he's youthful. But you and I cannot get that. So here, Prabhupada is saying the secret is to come out of this material world and be freed from it. Otherwise we'll be caught up here and we are doing the same nonsense. Of course here also Prabhupada mentions that you should know your future through the Vedic scriptures. Now of course the scriptures will not tell you some material mundane future. It will only describe that if you act sinful and under a mode of ignorance and mode of passion, then your next birth will be again in this material world in another body. Now that body of course will be decided by the level of sinful activities you have performed. That is knowing the future. Not that in the future, you know, you will know something. For example, I was recently in Jaipur, and there was one astrologer sitting outside. And all the devotees who come there, some of them genuinely have love for Radha Govindji. So they have actually come to take audience of Govindji in Jaipur and seek their blessings and prayers that they be freed from this material life. Others come with a shopping list. Diwali is coming. Can I get wonderful gifts of golden necklace, golden bangle, this, that and other. So many things. Right? And then the astrologer sitting there taking advantage of all these people, saying, yes, yes, you come to me, I can tell you your future. So he was telling this, just one middle-aged couple sitting there. And I happened to be passing by, so I said, let me hear what he is saying. So he told this lady, you will never be short of money. And the lady questioned, but I am short of money. So no, according to your palm and your forehead reading, you will never be short of money. So I think he's fooling this woman. Because he's charging 500 rupees for reading your palm and your future. So then I could not resist. So I went, excuse me, can I interrupt? I said, my dear lady, you may be short of money, may not be short of money. But definitely after this interaction with the astrologer, you will be 500 rupees short. That I'm predicting. By the mercy of the Lord, I can predict that 100%. And you will see, once you finish your consultation, you will definitely be 500 rupees short. And the astrologer looked at me. Then I said, astrologer, why are you fooling these people? You know, these people are in desperate need of help. And they think you can help him solve their problems. So I said, can you tell me, what is your future? Yes, I know my future. I said, how long are you going to live? He said, according to my line here, you see, I will live for 95 years. I said, are you sure you're going to live for 95 years? He says, yes. I am never wrong in my astrological predictions. I am 100% sure I will live for 95 years. So I said, I will predict something else for you right now. And my prediction will be 100% true. Guaranteed, without fail. You see, this is my walking stick. I will take my walking stick and hit you on the head right now. And break your skull open. You will die instantly. Forget your 95 years. And the second of my prediction is that because of that act, the police will catch me and put me in jail and put me lifetime jail sentence or hang me for this act. That is a certain. That is prediction. So don't fool people. So sometimes we think that this kind of future falseness will try to resolve our problems. But real problem can be solved only, as Prabhupada mentions here, for one who takes to the devotional service of the Lord and the spiritual master. Of course, spiritual master means that he will engage you in the service of the Lord properly so that the service you act will be pleasing to the Lord. And when you engage in devotional service which is pleasing to the Lord, then the Lord frees you from this bondage. Maybe not immediately, but that is a process of cleansing of the heart. And more through devotional service, when your heart is cleansed, then pure love for the Supreme Lord is established in the heart. And when the pure love of Krishna is established, then all you want is Krishna and nothing else. Otherwise, your life will continue. You come to the temple, take beautiful darshan of the Lordships, feel a little relieved that yes, I went to the temple, especially today is Deepavali, so many people will come and seek the blessings of the Lord, saying that one more year has gone past, now looking forward to a prosperous new year, so please dear Lord grant me that I would have a prosperous new year. And this is their prayers. But a sincere devotee comes and says, dear Lord, one more year gone. Let me not have one more year. Let me be freed right now. Please let me go. Because one more year of prosperity means one more year of suffering. And definitely this is suffering. There is no happiness. In this material world, it's addressed as Dukhalaya. So in the place of Dukhalaya, how are you going to find Sukhalaya? There is no happiness. Sukha is not there. Only make-believe Sukha is there. And if this material world can offer happiness, then everybody would be endowed with happiness through their endeavors. Everybody out there, millions, 7 billion people on this planet Earth, who have been endowed with human bodies, are all endeavoring for happiness. Where is happiness? Which country has happiness? No country has happiness. Every country is suffering. Rich countries are suffering, poor countries are suffering. Rich countries are suffering because they have too much. Poor countries are suffering because they have too little. Nonetheless, having too much is also suffering, having too little is also suffering. If you are caught up in the middle, you think, if I had too much, I'll be happy. And the one who has too little, I think, maybe if I even have just enough, I'll be happy. But if you have enough, you're still not happy. The secret is that due to our past lives, whatever we have done, we don't know. But at least we must have done some good act.
And due to that some good act, the result of that is that we have now been granted and blessed with the human body. Second good act which we may have performed is that because we had performed that act which was deserving to get a body of a human being, plus being able to appreciate Krishna consciousness. Because somehow Krishna consciousness is coming to your life. That is why we are here. And we are not sitting outside somewhere wallowing in some kind of a madness world. But we are here at the beautiful shelter of Radha Ras Bihari. Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas here trying to do some sadhu sangha, hearing the Hari Kirtan, Hari Katha, worshipping the Lord. Some good pious deeds are there. Therefore we are here. But how best to utilize this and move on next stage is to take shelter of the scriptures and come out of darkness. And this darkness is very easy to come out. Simply we have to show some desire. Otherwise, darkness will remain. As Prabhupada says, come out of darkness, come into light. Light doesn't mean that we put a big chandelier and big 1,000-watt bulbs and say it is fully lit, so bright that even night becomes like a day. And say, I'm in light. That is still ignorance. Because the fact of the matter is that you're still thinking, I am this body. So in this section of Bhagavatam, this great emphasis placed that we have to go beyond the body. Because as long as you have this material body, you will always think of sense enjoyment and sense gratification. Whether we like it or we don't like it, it is always going to be there. Because it's the very nature of this body to enjoy in this material world through the five sense perceptions we have. Eyes, hearing, smell, taste and touch. It will always pull us in different directions. Knowingly or unknowingly, we always do these things. So what is the result of that? The further bondage, this material world. But if we know correctly from the scriptures, under the spiritual master's guidance, then we can free ourselves. Simple act now. All human beings are endeavoring to have nice, palatable foodstuff. Nobody wants to eat distasteful food. Nobody will purposely prepare something which is very distasteful and say, well, it is still food. Chemically speaking, it has got all the nourishment ingredients required in there. So even if it's distasteful and smelly, it will do its job. It will keep this body going. But nobody is doing that. You are doing your level best to make very nice, wonderful preparations just to satisfy the tongue and the urge to eat. Now, if you just eat for the satisfaction of the tongue and the belly, then it will create bondage. But if we come to Krishna consciousness under the guidance of the spiritual master, he teaches us that you can fulfill that act of eating also in a devotional act by partaking prasadam. So simply honoring prasadam will fulfill your desire to fill the belly, and the tongue will be happy because all this wonderful tasteful prasadam is there, some savory, some sweet, some liquidy. All different kinds of prasadam is there, which will satisfy your tongue. And beyond that, the very act of honoring prasadam is the very act of devotion. Because devotional service means honoring prasadam. So nobody would be against performing that kind of devotional service. Everybody loves this devotional service. Who would say, I don't like this kind of devotional service? Everybody loves it. Because it will fulfill your necessities of the body. But on top of that, it will free you from further bondage. It is a question of just changing the consciousness and attitude and understanding to have right knowledge. Because even I say that any home, they will all make great endeavor to make preparation of foodstuffs. But only thing that require there is that once you have made wonderful, nice preparations with good consciousness, offer it to the Lord. Very simple. Now the Lord is not a greedy person and a very hungry person. They say, whatever you offer him, he will say, okay, thank you very much, and wipe out all the offering incense. Now go cook something for yourself. He will transform that material food stuff into transcendental prasaram, full of spiritual energy, and give it back to you. He will reciprocate. As you give to him, he will give back to you. That is his greatness. He will not say, oh, thank you very much, and then take everything. He will give it back. So simple understanding of simple act, it will not take anything away from you, but it will give you a great deal. So we have to understand how to make every action we perform as an act of devotion. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, neither perform pious deeds nor impious deeds. Because impious deeds, of course, is path to hell. And pious deeds is path to heaven. Whether you are in hell or you are in heaven, the activities are eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Because it's still material body. So Krishna said, don't do either. Just act on a devotional platform. So under the expert guidance of a spiritual master who is well known in the knowledge, will guide you step by step. How to see everything in relation to Krishna. How to act in relation to Krishna. Prabhupada said, all you have to do is add that magical ingredient in every action you perform. And what is that magical ingredient? Simply put Krishna there. Connected with Krishna. As soon as anything is connected with Krishna, it becomes transcendental and perfect. And because it is transcendental and perfect, it will not have any ill effects on you. It will only have the effect of freeing you from this material bondage by purifying your heart. And more you engage in devotional service, the more and more the heart becomes purified and free from all contamination. Till the point where it is completely freed from all these anarthas in the heart. And you only have love for Krishna. And when you develop that, then you will be completely freed. Now, time is very short. I think I have to stop at 9. So, since today is Deepavali, it is a very, very auspicious day. Generally, in material calculation, Amavasya is a day when no good activities can be performed. You know, if you're going to do some good activity in terms of like opening a new business or creating an engagement ceremony for young boy and girl or the marriage ceremony or any of these auspicious things which you think is good, will never be done on Amavasya. But today is Amavasya. But today is a day when we actually come to the temple, we offer deepa to the Lord. And more than that, today is a very special day. Today is the day when Krishna performed a wonderful pastime in Braj, which we are observing throughout this month of Kartik, the Damodar Leela. This is the actual day when Mother Yashoda was tying Krishna to the grinding mortar. So it is a wonderful day today that besides any other kinds of desires you may have, is to actually meditate on the profound Leela of Damodar and Mother Yashoda. That is act of pure love between mother and son. And then in that powerful pastime of Mother Yashoda and Damodar, Mother Yashoda is chasing Krishna with a stick, with the intent to punish him. And why she wants to punish him? Because he has been mischievous. He's breaking butter pots, yogurt pots, and not just eating, but then making a mess all over the place. And Mother Yashoda is getting many complaints also from many of the gopis that your boy is such a naughty boy that he is coming to our house. Okay, we don't mind if he takes a little butter, but he messes the whole house. He brings the monkeys and his coward friends and they make the whole mess. So it is very disturbing to us that you have no uncontrolled child. So Mother Yashoda, I think I must control my child. So she is running after Krishna with a stick. But while she is running after Krishna with a stick with the intent to punish him, she is thinking, wait a minute. Why should I punish him? He is the joy of my life. Without him, my joy would be dead. Whatever he does, everything is wonderful. So Mother Yashoda is thinking, no, I cannot do that. So immediately, instead of intent of punishing Krishna, she is feeling love of for Krishna in her heart. Because so much love is coming, that tears are coming from her eyes. And these tears are not of frustration or pain. They are tears of joy. Joy of what? Love for Krishna. And then when Krishna sees these tears from Mother Yashoda oozing, coming out from her eyes, think, this is tears of love. I must surrender to my mother. So he says, okay mother, you can catch me now. Otherwise, Krishna is Ajita. You cannot conquer him. But here, Krishna submits to Mother Yashoda. Why? Because Mother Yashoda has pure love for him in his heart. So he's ready to submit to her. The Prabhupada said that not just Mother Yashoda, but anyone who can have that kind of love in their heart for Krishna, Krishna will come and submit himself to you. And he will be with you. And as long as Krishna is with you, nothing in this material world will touch you. You will be completely freed, like the lotus, although in the water, cannot be touched by the water. So we are in this material world, but we cannot be touched by this material world. We will be completely freed. And then when Krishna agrees to be tied to the grinding water, Mother Yashoda again is thinking, why I should tie him? But Krishna of course covers Mother Yashoda's thinking. Then Mother, you must tie me. So she's looking for a rope, and the rope is all the time 2 inches shorter. Finally again Mother Yashoda says, No, I cannot tie you. You are my darling. You are love of my life. I cannot do this. Then Krishna says, okay, now you can tie me. So the rope becomes transcendental love. And the love rope of love is tying Krishna. But Krishna had one other business to perform. He had to free Manigriva and Nalakuvera from their curse as to the two trees. So Mother Yashoda is covered by transcendental yoga maya by Krishna. He said, no mother, you tie me. Because this act of tying will show the bond between us of pure love. At the same time, I have to do another business to free these two souls who have been cursed to be trees for many thousands of years. And now it's time for them to be liberated. Because those trees were not in ordinary place. Although when Narada cursed them due to their indiscreet business of bathing nakedly, you know, and flaunting their bodies, so Narada cursed them to be trees. But where? Not anywhere, but in Braj, in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. So while being in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, they were giving shade to Krishna and Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. So they were doing an act of devotion all through that time. And then because of that act, they deserve to be now freed from that. So Krishna says, I will now free you. So of course, we can read that pastime in the Krishna book, how Krishna is dragging the mortar between the two trees, the tree fells, and Manigriva and Nalakuvera are freed from their tree bodies and into the transcendental spiritual body and goes back home, back to Godhead. So that is one wonderful act which took place today on a Deepavali day, which is very, very wonderful day and a prayer of meditation for those who want to develop similar love to Mother Yashoda for Krishna. This is the day when we meditate and pray, and Krishna is very, very willingly and happily going to dispense His blessings upon us, because today is the day when He is freeing Manigriva and Nalakuvera. So what to speak of us? He can also free us. At the same time, today is another joyous day that Ramachandra, who was banished in the forest for 14 years, he is coming home. And if you have read the Ramayana, the day Ramachandra left Ayodhya, everybody was walking dead people. Though they were walking, but they were dead. The life came out of their bodies. But as soon as the time of exile was over, the spark lit up in their hearts that their life and soul is coming back. So they cleaned up the whole city of Ayodhya, lit it all up with many lamps to welcome home Ramachandra. And this is what we can do also. On today, the day of Deepavali, instead of just putting deepas everywhere or Kali Yuga deepas with electric lights. And I remember as a young child, my mother used to tell me that if you have a deepa lit, on the Deepavali day and keep it continuous till the next day in the morning, then Lakshmi Devi will come and shower upon you. So all the, I don't know the other people, mostly Gujaratis, they all do this, hoping Lakshmi Devi will come. But I tell you, it is not the Lakshmi Devi that will come. Ramachandra will come in your heart. And when Ramachandra comes to your heart, what more you want? Because Lakshmi is following Ramachandra. But if you are just doing it for Lakshmi, what's going to happen? Ravana wanted Lakshmi without Ramachandra. So what happened to him? Finished. So we should not aspire for Lakshmi. We should aspire for the Lord. And the Lord is there, then everything comes with Him. Sum in total. So we should be praying and meditating today, you know, as devotees of the Lord, that we develop love like Mother Yashoda for Krishna. We open our hearts up with the lamp to welcome Lord Ramachandra in our hearts. That He comes and resides in our hearts. And when Krishna, Ram comes to you, all perfection is achieved. This is the goal of a human life. To be completely connected with the Supreme Lord. And these wonderful pastimes allows us to remember the Lord. And again reminds us that this is the real business what we are here for. This is why we have got this human birth. Not for eating, sleeping, mating, defending. That is part and parcel. It will happen anyway. But beyond that is to be completely attached to the Supreme Lord and be freed. And if we perform this, then our lives will come perfect. So, today is a wonderful day. Of course, every day is a wonderful day. If you are Krishna conscious, then for you, every day is Kartik. Every day is Janmashtami. Every day is Ramanavami. Every day is Deepavali. Every day is to remember the Lord. Every day. Not just one specific day in a year, we think, okay, I'll remember the Lord today and then tomorrow I'll go and do my nonsense business. Prabhupada says that Christians, Monday to Saturday, they do sinful activities and then Sunday go to church and say, Dear Father, forgive me for I have sinned. Then Father says, okay, don't worry. Just put some donation in the box and chant 10, 20 Hail Marys and you'll be free. And Monday comes, you start doing the same nonsense. No. Real knowledge and understanding is that once you know what is right and what is wrong, do the right thing and free yourself from the wrong. And every day is a day for remembrance. That's like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Trinada pi sunichana, taror pi sunichana, amanina mani dena. But the last line says, Kirtanya sadahari. Always chant. Not one day, two day, always chant. Not 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, always chant. Every moment you have. Prabhupada said, either you are engaged in physical service of the Lord or you chant His holy names. You have no other business. So, we chant Hare Krishna and then we do some service which is necessity. Then you have free time, you again chant. Not that I chant so many rounds in a day and then my business is done. This is not like 9 to 5 business. You go to 9 o'clock in the office, 5 o'clock you clock out. I've done my business, I get paid at the end of the day. Hare Krishna chanting is not like that. It is Kirtanya Sadahari. Eternally, constantly chanting, 24 hours a day. And of course, this chanting can be done in so many ways. Physical chanting of japa, kirtan, doing devotional service. I'll tell you, even if you go to sleep at night, that can be transcendental devotional service. You think at night, that dear Lord, I have worked hard all day, my body is a little tired. Please allow me to take good rest so that I can serve you again tomorrow. And in that spirit you take rest, then Krishna will bless you. That act of sleeping also becomes devotion. Because you're sleeping, why? So that next day you can recover fully to do more service. So even that act of sleeping is a service. Only thing of consciousness. But we are so complacent in all these things that we don't think in every act how to connect with Krishna. We just have to train ourselves every act we do how I can see this in relation to Krishna. And if you are mindful of that, then very quickly You'll become perfectly situated in Krishna consciousness and you'll be a very, very happy person. Whether you have something or you don't have something, you'll be a very happy person. We see Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, very, very well-to-do persons in their lives as ministers in the Nawab's ministry in Bengal. But Mahaprabhu said, no, give this all up and go to Vrindavan. What did they do? They gave up everything. Even their clothing they gave up, and they took up some cloth which is covered on a dead body and where there is a lungi. And they were sitting there chanting japa and meditating the Lord. They didn't have anything. They had everything, they gave up. But after giving up everything, they are still very happy. Why? Because they have something which nobody has. They have Krishna with them every moment. And that is why they were always happy. Even though they didn't have anything in material calculation, someone sitting under a tree without any clothing, without any security of where my next meal is going to come from, or whether am I going to get shelter from the elements of nature, completely free of anxiety, simply absorbed in the Lord, and they are very happy. They are showing us by their own example, as great acharyas, how to be really happy in this material world. See everything in relation to Krishna. And then your lives will become 100% perfect. So, I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If anybody has any comments or questions, we can take one or two questions. So, there's no comments, no questions. Then I thank you very much again, once more. Jai Grantara Shrimad Bhagavad Mahapurana Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Mother Yashoda Damodar Ki Jai Sri Ramachandra Ki Jai Jai Gaur Paramananda.